Annabella Town Planning Commission meeting. As far as roll calls, first order of agenda, we have Lyndon Fryant, Devin Squire, Lenny Hartle, and Wade Ingram, as well as myself, Kent Polson. We'll excuse Kelvin Johns this evening. Next item is approval of minutes. Does everybody have a chance to read through the minutes?
Didn't see anything out of the ordinary here.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from February 23rd Planning Commission meeting.
I second it.
So Lyndon has made a motion and it has been seconded by Lenny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Let's see, where is our... So we have appointments this evening. Marking off on the wrong word. I hope this isn't the one I'm supposed to sign.
I have it.
Okay.
Mark away.
Good. Okay, appointments is our next order of agenda item, and we have the appointment from Chris Hunt and Casey Hunt. Do you guys want to come up or? You can yell from the back of the room. You can do about anything you want, guys.
I haven't heard these guys ever yell.
No. I doubt we ever will either.
So we have this is my son Carson.
Yeah.
And Carson's lovely wife Delaney, and they have a little baby too, almost a year old. So
yeah.
They're just getting to that point in life where they'd like to have the American dream, home ownership, and it's become pretty tough the way things are for us. Some of these guys, I mean, I need to probably attest to our property values and just how much they're going for. They looked at a piece of property in Glenwood and it was $90,000. A lot of the other stuff's on the outskirts, some of it, I mean, it's over $100,000, $120,000, $150,000, so it's just, we need to try to do something, I feel, to help our youth to be something affordable. And we're home builders, so we have first-hand experience on what it costs to build these homes, and it's got to be where $500,000, it takes $500,000 to have pretty much a starter home. I mean, I moved here 25 years ago, and I remember the piece of property I bought was $11,000, and I wasn't sure I could afford that then, and I borrowed $86,000, and the home payment was $800, and we wondered if we could make that at times. And now these guys, I mean, Carson's struggling, and they both have good jobs and degrees, and it takes two people for an income, and I mean, to try to go get a loan for $450,000 and then try to buy property for $100,000 or $150,000, it's leaving $300,000 for a house. And unfortunately, that's just not enough, even with pulling favors and us doing a bunch of the work. It's just, and now they're even, you know, approaching our youth and saying, well, I guess you take out a 40-year or a 50-year mortgage. You know, I mean, who wants to do that? They're 23 years old. They'll be under 70.
Just the mortgage companies. That's all.
Before they pay these houses off. So I don't know what the answer is. I know the state's tried to push some stuff through. Oh, this last session where they were trying these tiny homes and they were going to allow 8 houses on. It was 10,000 square feet, so about a quarter acre. But it didn't go. They're going to go back and try to get 6 or 5 or 4. I think they realized what a problem we have in Utah and how underbuilt we are, and as the next generation comes up too. I mean, we're needing a place for our youth to settle. And otherwise, I mean, you see so many apartments, condos, and townhomes going up. can't figure something out with the property, I think our youth are just in apartments the rest of their life. They're not going to be able to go out in the backyard and throw a ball with their kids or do different things. So it's kind of hard with all of this. And then we're sitting on almost an acre. It's not quite enough in town, and it's been split and back and forth with the neighbors and give back. And so we're short a little bit, and the county's shown that it's worth, you know, like $140,000, whether it is or not, or more or less. We don't know, but that's just too much. It's just too much for them to afford. But if we were able to split it, then they could afford that, and they could have the house, and then our shop is on the other, and we use it for business. I mean, not a lot. There's just a lot of us, just some of our dad's old tools. I mean, Casey has some four-wheelers in there, and we have some concrete tools, and then we use it a little bit. But we didn't want to lose the shop while we're still working, and not being able to have property, just trying to help where we can. I think it's, and I knew this problem was coming up. I've seen it with the building, and it's never gone down. I mean, honestly, we've been doing this for over 30 years, and these prices have never gone down. I don't think they ever will, short of some economic disaster, and then I don't. Who knows what will happen then?
Agreed.
I know we need a full acre. I mean, we have the frontages. We're so close. The canal could be a little issue with some of the. I'm not worried about the septic tank or anything like that. I think it. I don't know if that was some of the problems with the.
They're going to pipe it, correct?
They are going to pipe it.
Which that changes, that helps
next
a little bit, because instead of being 50 feet,
we
will have to be 50 feet now from the canal, and it is.
Well, right now, this law is 50 feet from canals and streams.
50 feet for the septic tank, but you still have to be 100 feet for the drain line.
I was looking at that earlier.
But they're going to change that once it's piped, and that'll help.
And they're planning to pipe that at the end of the year, but you know that can always slide,
right?
You know, just like anything else. But
it might go this fall, but it didn't. And we're so close. We were just, like I said, hoping to spread it. And of course, when I built here 25 years ago, a half acre was just fine, just right. But now that I'm 50 years old, I don't. Half acres too much. So we're just looking for a little leeway to help the kids out, and maybe just you guys thinking on the future. And I think the state will pass and do some stuff. I think it's coming where we're just going to have some smaller lot sizes. And I know septic tanks could be an issue in some places with a smaller lot size, but I think a half acre is plenty of room for a system and an alternate system. And we didn't used to have to do the alternate system either. I mean, that's kind of about the last, I'm not even sure, maybe you guys would know, maybe 5 or 10 years, but I think there's ways to make a septic system work.
So what, we have a map in front of us. What is the property that we're talking about? So is it just this outline?
These lines are a little screwy here.
It's probably, I think it's this one going. I think it comes over and about here, and then comes up, and then
it's
angles.
It's off a little bit. There's actually a
property
right here, and it comes up here. We found a stake there. We found a stake there.
So the shop would be on it?
And then... So the shop is all on it now. And we have 148 feet of frontage here, and then I think there would be enough for.
Yeah.
So you do have 148 on this side.
Yes.
Okay.
For a home here and a home. Here.
Yeah. So
what was that dimension? Isn't 100 or excuse me? What was it, Carson? 200 and.
What about 280? Almost 285 this other way.
Yeah.
And there's a house almost directly across the street. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to figure with my construction math on this angle, but I could figure out how much I needed for a half acre, and I think 148 feet there
I basically need maybe 148 feet here, and then this angle maybe was a little bit less, but it did leave enough room. This house almost exactly straight across would still fit on this piece of property and give us plenty of room with the shop.
We'd probably split it right in half. So whatever that 2.47
each side.
And we've had this, and we've never really done anything or thought of this until
this was going to be my retirement in 20 years. But you know, when you got a nephew or kids that are needing something,
and our dad was able to help us do all he could to our house, and I mean that would just be the ultimate for us to.
Yeah. Stays in the family.
To do that, but
so I think the other thing to consider here is everyone's looking at this is this one's an acre. This one was split, and that's what a lot of that documentation was that was sent out by Tina, mm-hmm. talking about that. But they did a survey. Somehow they tied it all together. But I think ultimately, this is showing as 0.5 on the county records, and this one's showing as 0.4.
It's showing as 0.4, but the survey plat is 0.5, and if you calculate the area of the description, it's 0.5.
It's 0.5. And you calculated all of this, right?
Yeah, I just did a quick area of that. It's 1.97. Or 1.96,
Nine four.
Yeah. So with that, kind of the county shows an overlap or a gap there. That won't exist.
So I guess the point is that there's, you can't take and get any acreage surrounding it to add to this one.
I had approached Matt the other day just thinking, well, maybe he wants to just keep the whole acre, but he's got the same thing with his boy Nate. Nate's thinking of coming home and buying this, and I think Matt and Laura are actually considering. We talked about doing something there, and he has the 214 feet there.
So I think
his is clear cut and easier than ours. So
yeah,
but that.
But I think that the point I was just trying to make is that there's no place to go get land around supplement it up, the extra 0.6.
We'd actually, at one time, we'd actually had an acre, and we were just short, but we borrowed Mike Sorensen give us some to make that up that acre. Mm-hmm. But then when they come to split this, they asked if they could have that back.
So they have enough
and
to split.
So we did it back.
Mike gave it to us, so that was the right thing to do, just give it back so Brian could build and so they could split. So.
Yeah. So the idea is to split this into two lots. We've now got the fun of what the legislature gave us for splitting lots, because it's basically, it has to be treated just like doing a subdivision.
Yes.
So we have to follow those rules now that they did, a year ago or so.
Do you not have a simple lot subdivision section in your ordinance?
It should be one simple. You could split it once like a simple without...
We did a...
You split it again, you get talking about
it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we talked about it.
Yeah. But did we ever do it?
I think we did.
Okay.
They got the land use ordinance up here.
But either way, I think, this, I don't know how we overcome the half acre thing.
And there are other properties in town that are sitting on less than half an acre.
And that's what I, you know, understanding, I haven't been involved in one of the ones where they split them. It was previous to my time. You may have been here at the time, but usually when we've looked at doing that in the past, and we talked about it in meetings I've been in, is in this situation, there is no way to get land anywhere around, and that's where the variances have been incorporated in the past, is when there is nothing else available to remedy that. Can't go pull it from one of the existing neighbors because they need the full amounts. And so they have been granted in the past when there's just not another option.
Well, in my mind, we can't do that here.
It would have to be the Board of Adjustments that would have to do that, because we're tied to the regulations, and then they need to, the Board of Adjustments would be the ones that would then...
So would we recommend? Would they
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
What a quick.
Yeah, that's what we've done in the past recently is we've just said, you know, our hands are tied because it's not a full acre. But then the appeal to the Board of Adjustments, and generally we've seen variances made at the Board of Adjustment level.
Okay.
And that's typically how we've had to handle these.
So you did do 2.47.
Yeah.
You'd split instead of doing one, a half, and then
the other one, 0.4.
We'd do it either way.
Either way, that would work.
I think the 0.47s would, I don't know, look better, work better, because then it's close to that half acre. If we're doing a 0.5 and a 0.44, I think the 0.44 is just...
Yeah.
I mean, the point it would still give us enough property for the frontage and still plenty of property for another house and everything. But I think the 0.42, 0.47s would...
So
I don't know, might work better for you guys at the Board of Adjustments or...
Yeah. I don't know how you what any discussion points you guys have.
I go back to why, you know, like we talked about before, why is it a half acre? If we understand the why, then we can move forward. And then the other thing is at what point do you continue to reduce it? Yet, hey, I got a 0.89 acres, mm-hmm. but I, you know, so at what point do you say, in order to make things fit, in my mind was the half acre, because take for instance the county, you know, they have a set acreage, you have minimum acreage, so you have well protection to be able to design your septic. So there's a why behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So is the why behind the half acre so that you can have septic and replacement lines on it and you know it's going to be big enough? If that's the case, if they can demonstrate through a perk test or septic design on these lots, if it has enough room for leach lines and replacement lines, then, you know, that would make sense to me. But I'm just trying to understand the why. I'm new at this, and that's why I hope you guys would have an idea.
So you're new at this.
Well, I'm new at this planning stuff here.
What's that?
Does it have something to do with that our system can't hold any more homes?
As far as
water.
The water system?
No.
I'm
at one point there was a question on where on expanding, but at one point they said there was enough water for what we had internally inside. I think that's what hopefully there was
so
enough. And I think that's what our commissioners, your forefathers thought of.
Has Eric made comments about the ability to take on, because this, my understanding is that we have enough water for anything in the town boundary, but if we have an expansion, then we would need more water. But is that a poor understanding?
No, if we split a bunch, we might have, you know, if we use
gotcha.
The
gas. So one other thing to think about that just got passed with the legislature is if we kept the whole thing as one,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to come in and build a home, we can also build an AD
accessory dwelling,
next to it. So then you've got two homes sitting on that, anyways.
No, I don't.
There's limits to the EDU, though.
We've just talked to a guy that's been working with the legislature. He said that it has to be 100 square foot smaller than the home. That's what they just passed.
And our, if they passed that, I wasn't aware of it. Our current one is that it's limited to a certain size, so it's 600 square feet to 1,000 square feet, so you wouldn't be able to build
a square foot home.
Yeah,
but then, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean,
but that's going to be a question you guys are going to be faced with now that
if everyone's wanting to build
a little small home in their backyard, and then it just comes from the state just trying to
figure out
what we're going to do,
and I don't know if they're going to have. You know, it's just like the state also wants you to build a bunch of apartment buildings, but that doesn't fit inside of, it's not something we have to do here. So there's going to be things like that we have to figure out when the state mandates things.
Yes.
But as of current, you know, that's the way it is on the books right now, is for accessory dwelling units, just that it's between 600 and 1,000. And so, again, I don't think you guys probably want to get pushed that direction either, though.
No, we don't.
No, that's not.
I was just saying, I mean, that could be coming
Yeah.
But,
there's a lot of things that the state does lots of favors for us.
Uh-huh.
So kind of the side note too. I mean, we're seeing the problem and think, well, let's see if we can annex some property in and try to sell some property for cheaper to help our kids and your kids. I mean, just to help people. But I think you guys require like 2 acre feet per acre to bring into annex, right?
As far as water.
Yeah. So we get water. We're checking on that, and they're about $30,000 for water for those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking at $35,000 to develop this property. I mean, we're dang near $100,000. This isn't even a property yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna be $120,000 and not even make a dime on the property.
Yeah.
And then that defeats the purpose to have affordable housing. So we can't even with the 1 acre foot, I give up on that. And I hadn't talked to anyone, but there's some places.
There's some places that would be nice to have gone in.
And somebody.
I agree.
So I don't know if there's...
Yeah, the problem we have is you've got to have the water for everybody. You know, and that's the issue.
The 2 feet is probably more than most people are requiring.
Yeah, and we'd have to look at that.
But then going back to the lot size and what Lyndon says, I remember when they were doing subdivisions here, and I think it was Mike Sorensen and Danny Anderson, and they did the lots over there, and I think they had to be an acre. And I think for a time, we couldn't subdivide anything in the town. It had to be an acre. And then I think when the Davis subdivision right across the street from us, when Matt McLean and his family, they proposed it. I think it was at that time that they changed it to a half acre.
Mm-hmm.
There are still portions of the town that require an acre.
There's three different zones. We have a half acre, we have a three-quarter acre, and a full acre. So there's three different zones within this town. It's laid out on that map over there, where it shows. They're on the west side of town.
So in order just to help everything, you have to change the land use ordinance. But is it even possible? I mean, not today or this month or this year, but it is coming. I think we're going to need to think about reducing that down to, but you have to, like Lyndon was saying, we have to have so much. You can't just split everything up. I mean, whether it's 0.4 or 0.45 or whatever.
And she brought up the point that as we keep having lot splits, then that puts a bigger strain on the water we do have available too. And so when does that get to a point where we haven't got enough water to allow just what's happening within the town boundaries? And so part of that could be why they're asking for the larger water shares. I mean, that would be something we'd have to investigate altogether before we took any kind of action as far as changing the amount of shares that would be for something where we're annexing and so forth. We'd have to do a study on that, basically, to figure that out.
Yeah.
Keep Tyler busy.
Tyler had a comment.
Is there a dwelling on this lot that they're talking about, or is it just a shop?
It's just a shop.
So couldn't you just technically build a primary dwelling on the same lot?
They want to build two.
We don't want to build. Yeah,
you want two.
It's too much for them to try to buy the whole thing for $140,000, $150,000. When we could split off and sell it for $60,000 or $70,000, then it just makes it so they can have a house. I don't see anything else. I don't know. I think there's anything around that's under $100,000 for these kids to be able to.
Values are kind of silly.
But
they're not going down.
What are your kid? What are all our kids going to do? Yeah, I can tell you how much a house costs, but I don't. Property.
What is funny is we're one of the most affordable areas in the whole state at this time. So that's even scarier.
No, and when they sold my grandma's place down the lane here, you know, on Annabella Road, they sold the whole farm all the way back to the river for $85,000.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and that was what, 35 years ago?
Jeez. Now we can't buy a half acre for that.
They're building lots in Nephi for $300,000.
So, no, I get what
Are
you're
they
saying.
Quarter?
I absolutely get what you're saying.
Third.
So.
And they're sinking.
What?
And they're sinking.
Oh, I know. That was only
five. Yeah, that's
fair. There's a whole subdivision. So
I think, I mean, Does anybody got anything else to bring up regarding what needs to happen on this one?
No, we're bound to the rules, and the rules say half acre. Mm-hmm. And so I would vote no.
And generally, when we've done this in the past, there's things that we've had to vote no for. When John was on instead of the mayor, when he was on, there were times where there were things that made sense. We just had to vote no, and it had to go to the Board of Adjustments. And then you know, generally speaking, the Board of Adjustments has been very, I don't want to say lenient, but very understanding. And I've seen most things go through the Board of Adjustments.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's what we've been doing in the past for these types of things. And that's probably what we, again, have to do in this situation. So what we would do is...
What's the process of that?
Just getting with Tina and setting up an appointment. Or, did you set the appointments? Okay. Get with Angel and set the appointment.
Okay.
And I do a little investigative work up front. Get a perk test done, figure out how, you know, get a site layout. Not necessarily get
your... Has it been surveyed recently?
Yeah, in the last 5 years or so.
Some markers.
Three out of four. I mean, there's enough there that we're confident we can.
I think there was. Yeah, I think that one back one they might have. This one he might have had a hard time getting to, just because there was trees and canal.
Well,
and
you can
stuff.
Pull. If Brian has pull, offset markers, yeah, you can probably pull.
We can pull both ways and get it. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's an easy one to find. So yeah, it is marked.
Hey, there's no squeaking out an extra little bit, right? If you were to survey it?
I... Lyndon?
You know who makes the... Who's the... who makes enemies out of neighbors? The surveyor.
Yeah,
they can do whatever you want.
I can drag the tape another 10 feet. But no.
I think it would probably only need to be 2.5 feet across there.
I think...
Yeah. Yourself, you might got a full acre.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure everybody would like to see Carson Delaney in town. You know, so I think that things hopefully go the right way here.
They have in the past.
Yep.
How many members are on the Board of Adjustments?
Was there five? Yeah, five total.
Are they locals or are they like a state?
No, everybody.
Brad Powell is the chairman on the Board of Adjustments. He's on the Board of Adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tell me your name and address.
You're telling me there's a
chance. If you could find some examples of where this has been done, we'll have Angel look too. But
yeah,
it'd be helpful if you found some cases around here.
How many did you find?
There's a lot.
Well, I think. Are you referring to the number of lots that are less than a half acre? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
He's got 2 page list. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Or she has a 2 page list right there.
Okay.
And there's.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
He pulled on Onyx and then he looked at the county, so there's some overlap. And so your county and Onyx were different. Some of
they're a little different. And I know there's variances and different circumstances and everything. But
yeah.
I know if you say. Yeah, if we do it once, we're setting a precedence. We don't want to do that. And I know what the but if it's, you know, where it's on for quite a while and just looking for, I'm not wanting to do subdivisions or anything. Just get an extra lot for a house. So.
Yeah, I think you know again, like he said, if you've got something to back you up to say there's other times that it's been approved as you go to them. It's shouldn't be too bad.
Okay,
we'll do that.
So Angie Blackburn's on there.
Monty Aldridge.
Monty Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin.
Devin.
Bradley.
And there's one more trip. Let me go look.
It's okay.
I'm like, I thought I had them all, but yeah, there's five of us.
So anyway.
So when do you guys meet?
As needed.
Just when.
As needed. So
now you
will
have a schedule meeting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just my wife found out that I was appointed. So,
she's like, "Why didn't you tell me?" I thought, "I didn't know you told me last meeting." Yeah, we. I think we made that
Brad
suggestion.
Brad Cow, Angie Bay P.
Dave. There it is.
Yeah. And really,
what Google does.
Yeah, that second half. That second half. I mean, it'd probably be a long time before that got a home built on it.
Yeah. Where the shop is.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you're looking to build on this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a chance that if they had interest in buying the other half, I mean, if they could have the whole thing in the shop, they would. It's just right now, getting started, they can't. In the future, they probably could, and they'd have first dibs at all of it. So.
If he takes my shop, then I got to build one up on my piece of property up here, and that's a whole other discussion another night, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No. You gotta have a house first.
Oh, that's
the garage.
No.
We don't have something like that, I don't think. This has been a hot topic around town.
We'd ask the building because we thought it was with the building inspector, but he says no. It's to the building.
Behind them.
So yeah. I know there could be a problem with.
I mean,
someone
built
a shop and then they just move into it and live there.
We've had that.
Maybe you've had that.
Somebody turned one into a short-term rental.
Airbnb it.
But they built it larger than 1,000 square feet, so it became the primary dwelling.
Okay.
So, oops. Yeah.
Can we schedule something?
Yeah. I will call and set up a meeting with the Board of Adjustments. And I'll send you guys all the information, and I have your information, so
can
I'll
set
up some with Bradley.
To Angel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can, all my information is on the agenda, if you look at the bottom. You can email me everything, and I'll get it to our
should
PO
be a
and
copy
we'll set up a meeting
and
let
right
you guys
there.
Know when it is, okay?
So I think we have, business-wise, we need to do a vote.
Yes.
So that basically we have that recorded so that there's a reason for them to go to the Board of Adjustments. So with that, I take a motion.
I'll motion that we deny the request by Chris and Casey Hunt for a parcel split because of the lot size not being big enough for 2 half-acre lots and push this to the Board of Adjustments.
We have a motion. Any other discussion before we have a second? Anybody want to second that? There's not a second. Okay. Somebody want to give a different motion?
I don't think we can we? I mean, it's kind of a prisoner's dilemma because it's not our right to make that approval.
Exactly.
So I guess, unfortunately, because our job is to uphold the land use ordinance and it's the variance to make that decision. I guess I'll second the motion in hopes that we can do whatever we can do to help prepare you for that.
Okay.
To be variance to me.
So we have a motion by Devin and a second by Lyndon. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. And she will get you taken care of getting that scheduled so that you can get that done.
So when they meet, will they come back to us?
They haven't so far.
Okay.
They haven't so far.
The last time we met, we just sent it through and it never, we just pushed them through.
So Devin represents the Planning Commission on the Board of Adjustments.
Mm-hmm. So he'll be there.
Don't screw it up.
They would come back with a building plan.
Yeah, they'd have to come back with that.
But we'd have the okay from them to say,
once the variance is approved, then they would come back and do the next piece where we split it. Because they wouldn't handle that. They just handle the variance. Sorry to delay it. But
no, this is
at least you're moving though, right?
Yeah, this is the next step.
It's not a definitive no.
We get you guys' hands are kind of tied. I mean, so the guys are kind of a little bit. I mean, none of them wanted to say, no,
exactly.
Because they know what they have. I think they have the same feelings that we do with the whole thing. So
it's just our hands.
Your hands are tied. And that's just,
we had to follow the ordinance.
So do you have perk tests or anything already for this? We haven't done a perk test, but I mean, there's plenty of property there. It shouldn't be an issue. I mean, we could have our excavator go dig a hole anytime when he's back over in the area.
Long enough, my dad still has his perk test. He's only 20 years old. But
well, the one.
Yeah, it's a good time to do a perk test.
The septic system, of course, you guys know this, but the design of the septic system will regulate the size and type of the house, the layout of the house. Yes. Mm-hmm. I had to adjust my house because of the alternate location. I had to make a major adjustment to my house because of the alternate location.
Well, bedrooms are the big one.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that you've got more than 107 on both sides of your corner there.
Yes.
And so you've got options.
You've got options, front yard septic systems, side yards. Yeah. I mean, there is other options.
I think where Brian built just a year ago or less, I think he had to perk that. I mean, he's able to make the septic system work there. Right?
Yeah. He was just on that higher side of the canal.
Double check the setbacks for the septic system, too, from the water.
From the canal. One code, state code, I didn't have time to read it, just a quick synopsis. One said 50 and another code said 100, so.
So when I built 7 years ago, the tank had to be less than 50 feet, or more than 50 feet away, but the drain field had to be 100 feet away.
Mm-hmm. From the
canal.
But I think that's when they get that piped. Then I think they're saying, okay, we're going to let you go to 50. I don't know for sure. That's just what I'm hearing, so we don't know.
But if that's done before you build, then it's great. But if it's not, then that's something
then we
you
deal
have
with
to
it.
Pay attention to.
Yeah.
And I think if it's 100 and we have 148 and a 25 or probably a 30-foot setback, you know, in Monroe and a few areas, we started setting some of the tanks out in front just in case another sewer system ever goes in. I think there's plenty of room. I mean,
the whole system could be out here.
Yeah, and so I think there's options there.
There's
something.
No, good luck to you.
Okay, appreciate you guys.
I will try to get that together and let you know before the end of the week if I can. Okay.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Thanks
for your time,
guys.
Good luck.
Thanks. See ya.
Okay, first order of business, consideration discussion of proposed amendments to the land use ordinance. I think we might want to actually go to the second item first.
I was gonna suggest that.
Okay, so review and discussion of the WUI code, Wildland Urban Interface, is what WUI stands for. For those of you who have not figured that out yet, I'm looking at you, Lenny.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That was all of us last week. So.
And I think we have some visitors here to help us with the discussion. Because last time we met, there was a lot of questions that everybody had as far as they want us to define something for HB 48. But the Planning Commission was kind of like, who are we to be deciding that? You know, it just felt like we needed some more information about what that really means and how that kind of all plays in together.
How it affects people's properties.
Yeah, just so that's kind of where we're at, is just let these guys ask you some questions or give us a good synopsis, and then questions might come. And I think you weren't here at the last meeting either. You were absent, so you could probably answer some of the questions, but. There's a map that we've got here, I think, that shows the HB 48 layout.
I think it's these three.
I think this is it right here. Is the one.
That's just the town.
So this one is what HB 48 covers itself.
The high risk from HB
48. So. This, all of this area here is part of what that bill covers. Now, for what we need to do for the WUI, it doesn't have to match that, is my understanding.
That's correct.
So these are all HB 48. They have to do whatever they're doing. But we're saying with the WUI, we're saying not anybody who's existing, that has building permits or anything like that today, but it's future that come and want to pull a building permit, and it falls within whatever the boundaries are that we designate as being part of the WUI code that we adopt, then they have to follow a higher stringent set of rules about fire protection, the materials they use, all of those kind of things.
Yep, and then that'll be so HB 41 passed, and then
this year.
Yep, this okay. year, and then so that actually instead of this 2006 code, need to adopt the 2024 code.
So instead of adopting 2006, now we need to adopt the 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I believe that's within 2 years. I'm sorry.
I think it's within 2 years, and then also when you were talking about like this more stringent building code, just a little comment on that one because a lot of building materials come from California, and they kind of have the regulations there. California kind of covers quite a bit of those anyways. So in terms of some people saying that it is so much more expensive, it is actually more comparable, just as kind of a little...
So like a decking material should be a composite.
Which most people are going to anyways because it does, it's more durable in the long run anyways, and there's a lot of other factors people are choosing those products anyways.
And like a roofing material needs to be, you shouldn't use shaker shingles.
Yeah.
Which nobody does that here anyway. You know?
Was it asphalt? Because I thought it was just like metal roof was required. Did I read that wrong?
No, you can have asphalt.
You can still do asphalt shingles, yeah.
So is that in the state code? Where is that located?
So because it's been adopted, for us to use the 2024 WUI code, that is a part of the building WUI code.
Those requirements are in the state code.
So this is the 2020. This is the 2006.
The interface code.
So now we need to.
We have to do the other one. Yeah.
I haven't seen a copy of the.
That's we couldn't find one.
You do have to. There's like a paywall at the moment, but I know that the state's trying to. We're trying to get it ourselves.
Oh, okay.
So we will. You guys will have it eventually.
Okay.
And one thing, in Marysville, there's a general contractor that's on their Planning and Zoning Commission. And a comment that he made when that question came up is that most of the time if you're doing a quality construction job, like you said, the materials that are used are compliant with the WUI code. Mm-hmm. And if you're, like I said, if you're doing a quality construction job, not leaving open gables and things like that, 9 times out of 10 you're meeting the WUI code just by building a quality constructed home. So it's not. I think sprinklers aren't in either of them, correct? Because that was a.
I don't know on that one.
As far as interior sprinklers or exterior,
the big ones up on the roof in California. Mm-hmm. I think that was in.
They do that.
One of them.
Yeah,
I know that there was something along the lines of.
Does that help?
For like condos.
If you're in an area where everything's burning around,
I'm not sure
that comes
to
life.
But the ladder goes down.
I'm unsure on that part.
I think it
that's why a lot of them burned is because they ended up losing
water.
If you have a well.
They didn't have water, remember?
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like
what's the point?
They're kind of worthless if there's no water.
Sorry,
some people had wells. That it was efficient, but it's that would be off.
I mean, if my neighbors all burned down, I wouldn't want mine to stay. Do you know what I mean?
I had a sprinkler system, so mine's good. Yeah.
But essentially, to stay in CWS, you have to adopt the WUI code.
Yes.
What's CWS?
CWS is Cooperative Wildfire System.
So in other words, it's the insurance that covers if wildfire happens. If we haven't adopted the code, then that means that coverage for the homeowners wouldn't be there, or coverage for the town?
For the town.
So
say if you had something start on town property and run up the mountain.
Then the town could potentially be responsible for whatever wildfire coverages there are as it spreads.
So what happens if it comes down and you're in the red?
So what happens if it comes down?
If the fire comes down and you're in that red.
In terms of like who's paying for it?
Yeah. My insurance?
So I think when it comes to the house, it would go to the insurance. But in terms of the fire itself, the cost of fire personnel going out there and resources and stuff. Most of it falls on like where it started and like kind of how.
So Marysville, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how was that handled? Because it came down into town, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how did the fact that they were part of the WUI, how did that help them to have that?
Just out of curiosity.
So essentially, if it makes more sense maybe this way, it mostly just covers you, right? So if we're sending resources like we're on Monroe around Annabelle, mm-hmm. like we're not going to send Annabelle a bill, right? It all goes to the cost of the fire, and then from there, the state takes a look at it, or takes a look at it, and then from there, that's when they delegate who pays for what. I mean, like cities and towns where it started, homeowners, that sort of thing, going after cost recovery. And then those are based off of cost share discussions, percentages, all that sort of stuff, a lot of politics. But essentially, this just covers you. So, you know, if you had an issue in town, you weren't in CWS, we would send you a bill for the resources.
So we want to be in CWS.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think Marion's bill, if they weren't part of CWS, the better cost for that fire would have been upwards of $200,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where they were part of it, they could do anything for it.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And we're already doing the things to be part of it. We've been doing the mitigation projects. We've been the things that have, those have been happening over the past several years.
And I believe the cost was zero to Annabelle, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of the things that have already been done by Eric and others, you know, to make sure that just things that need to be done, but it also made it zero cost for us. I think Kelvin's been working on that for several years, mm-hmm. and has made sure that's been the situation.
Sorry, there's like four different parts to all of our programs and stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't, I guess, necessarily pertain to the questions you might have. it all kind of messes together, but they're all different.
Yeah. Well, we really don't understand, you know, any of it. HB 48 happened, and everyone went, "What? We have to pay what? Who? Where?
Listen,
what part
understand.
Of town actually does that?"
You know, so we get those questions.
Yeah,
we're on the same side with that one.
Yeah, and so, so I think there's a couple things: is understanding. So HB 48 is going to dictate that anybody that's within this high-risk area is going to have an extra fee added to their homes when it comes tax season this year.
Man, Robin.
And they can be mitigated to some extent by having an official from the I don't know, are they hiring that position still, or has it been hired?
Yeah, so those two positions are still flying.
Okay.
However, they're doing training and stuff.
Yeah.
Brand will probably be certified. I mean, it just depends.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, you'll have all of these, and it's if they want to.
Well, we have people sitting at this table who live in these areas.
Mm-hmm. Right. So essentially, if you had someone living at this table that didn't, you know, agree mm-hmm. or whatever, they'd come out, get a home inspection, and then they could reduce that rate. However, to come totally out would depend on the polygons on this map, which change.
So there's no way to get completely out of it, but they can mitigate it.
Essentially, as I understand it, yes.
So my bill just went up.
We had to mitigate it where I live, and I don't... Well, I live in this one, not that one. But otherwise, they weren't going to cover ours at all because we have
insurance.
15 pine trees mm-hmm. on
it's
my
like
property.
It's
so.
Similar to a flood zone then.
Mm-hmm. So we just had to mitigate a bunch of stuff. We had to cut our trees a certain way, away from everything. We had to limb up, we had to eliminate bushes. We had to do a bunch of stuff. Get a new roof.
Yeah.
So was that from the insurance?
Yeah, our insurance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they did a nice flyby.
Mm-hmm. So you did that so your insurance wouldn't drop you a hunt?
Wouldn't drop us, and even with us doing it, it went up.
Yep. So this would be a tax. Like just a regular tax, a fee.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not a tax, it's a fee. Thank you for picking me.
What's the difference?
There is
percentage. There's verbiage that you have to use.
So you feel good about going, you know, where or paying five.
Yep. And then essentially, the WUI map that you guys described, is that the. What
so
here.
This is the one.
This is a proposed.
Okay.
Right. This isn't the actual one. Right. This is just. This is what something he put together.
It's a draft. Okay.
And so that's the question is, this is kind of what he put together as a draft. So, what's the ramifications of making changes to this? You know, as far as
you know, some of it is further into town than the HB 48, you know. And so the question is, do we need to be cover at least what this is, or does it matter? Can we make it less on this than what the HB 48 is, or do we? Or, I mean, we just need to kind of understand.
Wherever you guys decide where your blue map is, as I understand it, is where it can be.
Well, I think there might have been some changes to that with HB 41.
And that's where it's 5 and above.
No,
wherever there
that's
is.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So could they take these all out? I mean, could we just eliminate those all together?
So what you're saying is, if it's designated in HB 48, it has to be in HB 41. So this map would be correct.
So yes. So I believe, my understanding, is the only restrictions that we have according to law is if it's in HB 48, then the municipality or county, whoever is creating the map, has to include it in their WUBI code. Basically just saying, you know, if their buildings have to be up to snuff for it, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't include things that are below the level 5 of the risk, which,
and this is
looking
five and
at
above,
this...
Right?
Yeah, so this was like 7. Well, this would be
this
7
is like
or 8.
The high mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm.
So 5, when we looked last time, I think 5 was like way down here.
Mm-hmm. So when I made this
map...
So
this looks okay, in my opinion.
When I made this map, the 5 level came out to about here. And I felt that was fairly excessive, so I scaled it back. I think that's 6 and up.
So the question is, look at this one. If you catch the corner of that lot, do we need to add this in over here?
So that one is totally up to you on that portion of it. When it comes to the fee portion of this, whoever lives here, the only way he's actually going to get the fee applied is if the red covers a portion of his house.
Okay.
Portion of the structure.
Okay.
So
which it does.
It's okay.
It does.
Just
the
so
corner.
If it does,
polygon.
Just
if it does, then I would personally recommend it just to kind of, I mean, this is just, again, a personal thing, not a state thing. I would personally recommend it, but
so,
if it doesn't,
so
that's up to you
am
guys.
Am I understanding two things here? If we're talking two things, the WUI code adopting and then the homeowner fee, right?
Yeah.
The homeowner fee, it doesn't matter what we do,
it's going to be implemented
if you're in this map.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then whatever we implement, I mean, we could cover the whole town. It's not going to affect, or would at that point, if we cover more than this shows, then are those homeowners going to get associated fees?
No.
No.
This is the fee map. This
but
is
if they
a,
were to build anything,
that's to be up to the code.
So that's a liability coverage map, and then this would be the fee map.
Yeah. So
and
why wouldn't
well,
we want?
Well, the next question is: are insurance companies going to come back based on anything we
they,
do to
no.
say, okay,
they
you're,
can only
you're
look
a high
at this
risk
one.
Because your town says that
you are.
The HB 48 came out, and it's, they
okay.
are only allowed to use this when it comes to high risk in terms of fire.
Okay. So heaven forbid another California fire moves north into town here, anything north of that line, the town would be liable to pay?
No. Because you're following CWS and you're part of that, all of it's covered.
Oh, okay. It doesn't matter. That's what I was wondering.
This map is strictly what areas of town will have to abide by the WUI code when they're building a new
home.
So it's all future build. It's not anything past. And so any homeowners in here, no matter what we designate, they will not have to make any changes to meet whatever. It's just the new people.
So we won't have to go get a new roof.
Only if your insurance company.
Our insurance company could come back and
your insurance company could, regardless of anything we do.
So what, after what we just did with Chris and Casey, why do we need to look at these lots and how many more can be developed? Because why put undevelopable, I guess they could add, they could build outbuildings and
they
things
could
like
build,
that.
Yeah, and you still, and again, how big are these lots? Like, this one's not been built on, this one's not, this
they're
one,
half
there's
acre.
Another
they're
one.
They're half acre, quarter. Casey's lot's like 0.7 acres, that corner lot, 0.7.
You know, so they're not, you're not going to be able to split these.
No.
I'm not sure what this one is in the middle of, that's landlocked.
It's, yeah, it's owned by...
This one.
Yeah,
it's... He owns all of that.
Yeah, it's just two different lots, but it's landlocked.
There are two lots right there.
And then the one between where they live now.
And then this is...
The old house and that.
Yeah.
This is
the... Yeah, they bought that whole thing.
The Barbins burned that down. About burned my shop.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was getting my hair cut by Jill, and I had half haircutted. Go down like, what the world?
And the same thing here. These lots aren't large enough that, you know, I mean, we already split this one into four, which is where you're building.
Yeah.
So, and then this whole area here would all be, so if they extend into the second phase, this whole second phase would have to be, mm-hmm. would have to be part of it. And then, yeah. So, I mean, there could be a few lots that could possibly, like, this is a big lot here on this side.
That's
the mountain. That's the mountain. Yeah.
Cool. I was going to say, isn't that?
Yeah, Fords. That's the Fords. But, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, Yep. There's a few lots in there that would definitely be something in the future.
So what really, is I guess, by way of adopting the code, it's just a formality.
CWS.
That's the question Tina had. Do we sign this?
Formality, but that's the wrong one.
And then
but it doesn't matter.
When does the public hearing come in?
Because what are the ramifications if you don't, right?
Actually already happened. Okay. They were sent out to...
So whatever,
I know personally because I've been told.
So at what point do we have a public hearing to permanently adopt? Do we have to do that, right?
Our understanding is that once we decide that we want to move forward, we define what this map is, that then we have to do a public hearing in the town before we adopt it into our ordinance.
That's municipality type of regulation. So I don't personally know what your guys' rules are for that one.
But you've already done everything on your side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All of our public comment in terms of HB 48 mm-hmm. have been, okay. they've been done,
put
goals are created. So yeah. the only changes that were made were the most recent legislative session. So
how do you have, what, so the HB 41, I think, is that what you said the mm-hmm. changes were this year?
Yep.
Yeah.
So what did that do to us this time? What did our legislature do for us?
I think it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it changed it from the 06 to the 2024 WUI code. And then it changed some things with the fees when they kick in. Is that?
Yep. So the fees were going to kick in this year, but now it's been postponed a year.
Okay, so and it then, won't hit this year's taxes.
Yes. So that one did move, and then also the addition of when municipalities and counties are creating their WUI boundaries, mm-hmm. they are not supposed to put in anything below the 5 level on risk.
Okay,
so that was included as
so
well.
So nothing should be on our map that's below 5, and we're okay mm-hmm. with
all
of
that.
Yeah. But what this does,
if you wanted to include something that was a 4, if you felt like you had a higher risk, or
if you can mm-hmm. like justify it, then you can basically
so
it says
community
come
center
to us
on the 4
and you
we
ask,
want
so it's
and we say right. yay or like we okay. would recommend yay or nay.
So, like for instance, these homes that are out here on the edge of town that mm-hmm. are not right. If we suddenly, for whatever reason, decided we wanted these ones on the north side of town to have some kind of restriction for future, mm-hmm. then and they were under, if they were under 5, we'd have to come to you and say, hey, we feel like these are risky in the future. Mm-hmm. And so if they subdivide this out a little bit and they decide to build another house on one of these larger lots, that we or they want to put in outbuildings or anything like that, then they'd have to abide by the rules, and we just get that approved.
Yeah.
Now, again, not saying that's what we're going to do, just as an example.
And from my understanding, it's less of like getting approval and more or less coming to us to make sure that we, that you guys have
that
the correct information mm-hmm. and you're not just going willy-nilly kind of with it. Okay. And we're just kind of being like, yeah, we understand why you're doing that.
So the only question I have is this house, as we said, looks like it's hitting the corner of that house because, again, he did an expansion and came forward a little bit. And so if that's truly in there and it's touching that house, do we need to add this lot as a high risk on ours? Or are we okay leaving this just with this area up here and not even addressing this over here?
Should we do more of this than this is what he's more the red?
You know, I I'd have to check the law again, but I mean, what she said is right. If it's designated on this high risk map, it probably needs to be on the okay. map. Now, you could do these two, you know, whatever those two parcels, three parcels.
We could just say all of this right here.
Yeah.
And you could double check the law and make sure that I'm correct on that, by the way. That could just be something that I've heard, but I'm pretty sure it's in the legislative bills.
Yeah. And then this is the cemetery right here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right here. This is the ball field. This is the cemetery. This is the
Kornberg.
Kornberg's.
So this is Kornberg's lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the guy that expanded. Sorry, mm-hmm. not this one. So my mistake, but I was off a little bit there. And then this house over here is that's in county. It's out of our boundaries. Mm-hmm.
And I can add that parcel in really easy.
So I think it might just be this one parcel that needs to be added. I guess if we wanted to, we could add the ball field and the cemetery at the same time
mm-hmm.
and say all of those.
And you're covered.
We don't need to come down here. Does anybody feel like we need to come down the side here?
I don't know why you wouldn't. In my opinion, if you're going to include Julander's hallways... You might as well take the whole perimeter.
Take it right down and then come around mm-hmm. into
yeah.
here
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm. protect the whole perimeter of the town.
Because really that's where your risk is going to be if we have a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be this, mm-hmm. this,
yeah.
that.
So do we, again, you know, because this is all...
I sent you mm-hmm. this way, and this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this is all farm. This is all farmland down in here, so that you don't have the risk that you have coming off the hill.
There have been some people that have talked about that. Yeah.
Talked about what?
Just adopting that.
Yeah.
I mean, that gives everybody coverage almost. All you'd have to do is jog in.
Yeah, it's funny how you know these polygons.
I know
they go. They don't follow the actual lots that they go through though.
Yeah, so when they created this, they used a lot of different parameters for it, and then like structure density and stuff. So we have had a lot of people that are like, I don't understand why it's only partly in my parcel. And it's like, well, because fire doesn't care where your property line is, that's why it doesn't fully cover.
Just take your whole lot.
Exactly.
Well, so, I mean, I guess that's the other side is if we just adopt where the high risk is, right, on here, that's another option rather than even trying
mm-hmm.
to do it this way, right? But...
Well, we're doing it to protect the town, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say that would protect mm-hmm. the town.
I'd much rather go with that option mm-hmm. than make our own because...
I would too.
I don't feel like, as a planning body, we're...
Yeah, I don't think that we're qualified to make that
no.
judgment.
But yet, this has already been made for
this has already been made, so why not just go with that?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Tyler, you spent a whole bunch of time.
Job security.
I mean, and keep in mind, too, though, that's only like the top 95th percentile of risk.
Yes.
So where his does drop down some, you're still covering that little bit that is still high risk.
But it's only
so
if somebody's building in those areas.
Exactly. But, you know, if you don't think there's really going to be a ton of building there either.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you cover yourself a little bit more?
Building.
I don't know.
So I was looking at what, just so you guys are aware about what, like, building requirements, they're not super straightforward, and they're not common.
Did you think they would be?
So I'm just saying that,
straightforward, anyway.
like for instance, chimneys have to have a stainless steel wire mesh spark arrestor on them, so that rules out anyone that wants to have a wood stove.
Nope.
Maybe I'm getting mine put in.
Because you can't have a wood stove with a spark arrestor.
Oh, yeah.
For my house there, Tyler.
I don't know where people live. I was just going off of the risk map. So
you can't have vented soffit. So you have to do the Texas style spray foam insulation.
Are you kidding me? You can't do a vented soffit even.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Holy moly. Good thing I'm not going to build again.
I didn't.
Right? I mean, like,
glad you're about done, huh?
I'm not going to build up there.
Yeah, there you go.
But see, what if I want to put in a garage? I'm way down here.
No, we're safe. We're safe just doing this.
Yeah.
Right? And adopting this and saying that's going to be our
that just goes to 3300 south. Whoops. It just kind of follows 300 south, 270 south.
This dips down a little more into town than this one does.
See, this one pretty much is 300 and then it goes down into my neighborhood.
So this one came a little more into town.
And the only thing, and that the only reason you do that is to ensure our buildings meet current code. But it sounds
which
like
which we meet, which we would be a part of. Anyway.
Except if you need to have the non-vented soffit and whatever.
I'm just saying, like it's not easy to do, and I would much rather restrict it as little as possible.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, call her guy. I'm going to throw a wrench in all your stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But positively.
Okay.
So just because it's on this map doesn't mean that you have to designate any WUI.
Oh, okay. So I was incorrect on that statement then.
Okay. So if you designate that you have no WUI, but adopt the code, but you show no WUI on the map.
Then the whole town's covered?
Yep.
Oh,
so we go to the boundary of the town.
But that's at your guys' discretion, right? Here's the risk.
These are the risk areas. It's just we're saying for future construction.
Yep. Where do you want to draw that line?
Because what happens if you allow a, not an illegal structure, but a non-conforming structure
to
in the WUI area and it catches fire and it spreads internally? I mean, they'll still fight it because we adopted the WUI code. It's not really hurting anything.
So now it's like, get rid of it.
But again, are we I have a hard time making this decision.
To make that decision.
Right? I feel like this needs to be...
Well, all we do is move it to the town council, right? Recommendation to the town council.
Yes. But
you know how that goes.
I know how that goes, but...
That's why they
bet it. That's why they asked us to be there.
Yeah. So I guess the question that is posed here is this one extends more into town. This is the actual HB 48, and do you want to? We already said we don't want to encroach more into town. So the question is, do you want to eliminate what's on this at all, or do you want to just go with this?
Because this map will change every few years.
And then we'll have to either...
Readopt a new one.
Okay.
And by then they'll probably say, you have to, instead of you don't have to.
Who knows how each legislative session is going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't get easier. They don't take
I mean, they already pushed it off a year to start billing people for it, which means that they very well could be fighting and adjusting boundaries within the next year as well.
So if we have to adopt or recommend adopting.
But here's a question for you. Can we say, like just like we do with the fire code stuff for the cul-de-sacs, can we say we adopt the current HB 48 high risk map, and if anything changes in the future that we will adjust whatever that boundary is to adapt whatever the latest boundary is that's been put out for the I guess WUI, right? Who's the entity that decides that? No, I mean who's the one that did the HB 48?
Oh, HB 48. So that was statewide. So this is all land fire data with like 20 different parameters.
But who's the entity that actually?
It's us. It's Forestry, Fire, and State Lands.
So we just say Forestry, State, and what'd you say, Forestry?
Forestry, Fire,
and State Lands.
Sorry,
whatever their then designation is what we're adopting in the future as well as present.
You could probably link their high risk WUI map and just say, this is our map, and whatever it changes to.
It follows whatever they change.
Yeah, you could write your ordinance.
Yeah, and that way we don't have to readdress it every time the legislature makes a change.
It's not a
static map. We
just
say it follows this. Yeah. Whatever the present map is, that's what we follow.
Yep. Yep.
how do you guys feel about something like that? But of course, you have to word it better than I did when you make that motion.
So I do want to just throw something out. If they come back and say you will designate, you know, anything with a structured exposure score, which is a different map than both of these, of five, that was that five. I believe that was the canal. It kind of followed the canal, right? And then you
have... So go to the canal?
If they get five. So that's what I'm saying, is if you adopt something that says you'll follow the HB 48 map, and then the state, for some whatever reason, right, you'll be down to the canal. And then all of this will be under the 2024 code.
But
at the same time, even if we adopt this code and then they make that change, then we're going to have to come back and change our boundaries anyway.
Yep.
So by just saying we're adopting the current code, the current map that has been created for the high risk, right? The high risk WUI properties.
Yep.
Then any future changes will automatically be adopted. It's the same thing as us having to come back and readopt it and hold another public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We wouldn't have to do the public hearings the next time. We'd just be able
to
say
follow
change
the current map.
Whatever the current map does, wherever it moves, that's what we adopt.
How often do
we adopt?
Change? Every
the HB 48 map?
Yeah.
The HB 48 map will be updated yearly. Well, and there's going to be about a year lag to the map itself,
so
if that makes sense.
We'd have,
yeah,
to,
have
do,
to do this every year.
We'd have to do this every year if we don't adopt it as being
much revenue than you.
Because all the money that goes for the HB 48 goes only to this program.
Yeah.
To so
fund the, it's basically, it's supposedly, to fund the two hires
itself
that you guys are trying to bring
essentially
in.
Essentially, yep. So all of the proceeds from this will fund that program and nothing more.
And they should adjust whatever the proceeds are from year to year based on what the budgets are that they need versus it being a, you know, so if everybody comes in here and mitigates and gets their property values lower or whatever lower, then it could still, they could, because they've still got to fund those people, they could raise the percentage that they're charging even, and you still end up paying the same amount. Sorry.
Some of it might offset, though, for the people who don't care and don't get the loss assessment automatically filed to the top. So.
Yeah, because they will get charged more.
Did you find out what that document is?
Yeah, so this would be for CWS.
What is CWS?
That we were talking about earlier.
We're already participating.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any money to pay
this
year because we've done all the work that it basically put enough work effort in that it covered our premium or whatever you want to say that would be for that.
So do we need to sign that then? Or is that just for information?
I think that, again, that's the town council who does that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to go through it so everybody's aware of what.
As a planning commission.
Oh, okay. I was confusing the two.
Yep, no.
Yeah,
we've got
all of
like
our
four different
kind
things.
Confusing.
It's confusing for us.
It's government. Okay. It's meant to be confusing.
Yeah.
I try to make government not confusing.
So essentially, to be covered under CWS, that's where the WUI map comes in. If you designate you have WUI or not, that's the code. And then we need a copy of that map to be qualified under CWS. That way, if you have a
copy of this,
of whatever the WUI map is.
Okay. Whatever.
Whatever
we,
you guys
whatever
deem
we designate
as
the WUI map.
Yes.
Okay.
And even if you don't designate anything, you still have to adopt for future.
You still have to just
whatever.
Say that you.
We've adopted the code.
Basically.
Okay.
So.
And when is the 2026 available someplace for us to even read through it?
2024.
I'm sorry, 2024.
It's not yet. You can purchase
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we looked all over for it.
You can purchase it?
Uh-huh. I know. Trust me. I was on the hunt for it the other day.
Trust me.
We looked everywhere.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Well, it's not.
Just too short.
The building code wasn't built through the government. It's the International Building Association. And so they do all of that stuff. But if I get a copy of it,
they are a for-profit organization.
Yes. Send it to everyone.
I will do my best for that one.
Okay.
So because we don't have the 2004 code, at this point, we can't.
That'd be 2024.
We, the 2024 code, whatever.
I just you know said what wrong I'm too.
Yeah, so. Because we don't have the 2024 code, and we haven't reviewed it, we can't make a motion on this at this time. Is that correct?
You need to hold a public hearing before you make a motion.
Yeah.
Right, we can't do that anyway.
I'd probably say you table it until you have the 2024 code.
Yeah, because before we actually vote on anything, we need to do the public hearing, get input from the public, and then, you know, if it's a typical public hearing, nobody will be here.
Do we recommend this to the town council?
We do, and then they vote on it.
So we vote to recommend it to the town council.
But we hold the public meeting.
But we hold the public meeting, but we can't do anything until we have the 2024 code in hand. So I would like to make a motion that we table this until we have the 2024 code and can review it.
I will second that.
We have a motion.
Is that something the town can purchase? How much is it?
$15.
Depends on where you lock it on.
There's like a code hosting website that I found that it's you can get a free trial for 14 days and it's like $15 a year. So I don't know. It's
or if you want
screenshot about this.
So we have a motion and a second on the table.
We do have a motion and a second on the table. Any further discussion before we vote? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We will wait until we have a copy of the 2024 Wildlife Urban Interface Code so that we can review that and be prepared to do the public hearing.
Can we have Angel or Tina research that a little bit, see what it would take to get one?
Yeah, we tried today to find one, but now that we know we can maybe pay for one, I'll get back.
So once we
if you need to get a copy before me, will you exactly do? I appreciate it.
I mean, we need to know what's in it, but it's not that we necessarily are going to adopt it. I mean, we're mandated we have to adopt
it. We need to pass it before we know what's
in
it.
If we actually have somebody show up to the public hearing and ask a question, it'd be really nice to be able to answer.
Oh, absolutely. Instead of saying, I don't know, legislator mandated it, so we got to click our heels and salute.
Yeah, we were planning on adopting the 2006, but according to what has been given to us tonight, we don't have that option.
And again, Justin did clarify that you don't have to have it in the H-248. Like, if you guys don't like the code, you can claim that there's no WUI
in the town.
Within the municipality.
Yeah. However, for CWS, you could still adopt the 2006 and table the 24 for 2 years.
Yes, you have 2 years to do the 2024 version.
Okay, so now that's a different story. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do we want to do a public hearing for the 2006, adopt it, including the map, that we talked about as far as whether if you guys want to do this, to say this is the current and we will adopt the current plus in the I don't know if we need to do the future one at this point because we're going to have to come back in 2 years and adopt the 2024
and
version.
Have to do another public meeting
and do another public
so
hearing.
When do we have to have this adopted by? When's the drop dead date? By the end of this year?
I believe that was 2010.
Yeah.
We missed that boat.
Yeah,
so we actually have time. We have 2 years, it sounds like, or give or take, to adopt the 2024.
Yes.
So we don't have to adopt this because we know we have to adopt the 2024 anyway. It's just whether you wanted to adopt this now to know that in the next 2 years you have to do the 2024.
So here's a dumb question.
Hold on, just 1 second. To be covered under CWS, you have to adopt the 2000.
I was going to say, because if we don't adopt it, heaven forbid, then this year's going to be higher than last year.
Yep. But we can't adopt it without a public hearing, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So we still need the public hearing. We need the public hearing. If something happens between now and the time that we adopt this, and something happens in the town and it burns up onto the hill, we are responsible.
Yeah.
So and as dry as it is this year, so would it make sense that we adopt this code as soon as possible
while we're waiting to get the 2026 stuff.
Probably.
That was my thought.
Yes. 2024 stuff, excuse me.
But we still have to have a public hearing, right?
We have to have a public hearing.
Probably need to get it scheduled for next month.
So do it now.
So
can we get it off the 2024 for a couple of years? It's a lot more involved.
And this gets us time, is what this gets us. So we don't have to do this with this, though, right, as far as the map? Or do we need to do the map?
So this is essentially this.
Yeah. We don't have to do this for 2 years, though.
You do have to adopt.
We have to.
You have to adopt.
We have to adopt.
You have to adopt the one with the 2006.
One or the other.
Yeah, you have to have all map.
So that goes back to the, if you don't feel like you have any wooey.
Mm-hmm. We can adopt say that.
You can, yep.
You just say the town boundary is the...
Mm-hmm. And you don't have any wooey in the municipality.
The whole town is the wooey?
Are still going to get charged because correct. They're on that... On
the that's a separate.
I know, yeah, but yes. that's still the case.
Yes. Yep, these guys are going to... Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right.
Okay.
So that's the legislature thing.
This is for the town to be covered under CWS. This, right.
I think we got to do it sooner rather than later.
Well, and it doesn't have to be that one. It could be this one. But it needs to be a map.
It needs to be a map. So my, if I might, recommend.
And we that's the reason you're here, Justin, is to recommend.
I might recommend if we just get the CWS agreement taken care of, we can, you know,
use the come up with a plan high risk
on the 2024 code and further.
Okay.
Which would mean two public hearings, but
it would. But that public hearing, the second public hearing, a year and a half or two years
down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, we don't have to necessarily. We can just adopt a map for now and not do the whole perpetual thing of saying it shifts with whatever the wind blows and they do with the legislature. All right, I'll let you guys, I guess.
That's all from above.
But we could just say this is a static one that we're going to adopt for now, and then when the 2024 comes around, we can decide when we do that public hearing if we want to do it as a, we'll follow whatever the ruling is that comes through when those maps change, or we can plan on doing, you know, but again, we can talk about that for future of how we want to do that. Now, in the meantime, if we're going to do a public hearing next month, we can have a digital copy of the 2006 sent to each of us to read through.
One of these? Yes, I can email you this.
Yeah. And then you can read that as often as you would like and be prepared for the public hearing. And we just do the public hearing next month so that we can now push this fall forward so we're part of the CWS.
Which I think that's the best thing to do.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we need a motion for that all.
We now just said we were going to wait, but now we're talking like we're not.
Well, that's because we got
so do we need
got further information. And so... Now we're no longer talking about the 2024.
Right. We postponed the 2024.
Now we need to talk about this one. So we need a motion to do all of that.
So can I motion that we table the tabled 2024 thing for 2 years? Or no, just strike
already,
that out?
It's already tabled. We don't have to do
that. We don't have to make a motion for that.
Now we're on 2006.
So my motion is that we take table this and hold a public meeting to adopt the 2006 WUI code and the state WUI map.
For next month?
Yeah. For next month.
For a public hearing to take place next month.
Thanks.
Because we're not actually voting on this now. We're just saying the public hearing is what needs to take place next month.
And really, we're just...
Well, that's the process.
We're just voting on tabling it, right?
Well, we're voting on it.
I don't know if we necessarily need a motion. We just need to
your
public hearing and have a motion.
And then do it after. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
So you don't need a motion. I'm sorry.
Hey.
Okay, go
right through
so
it.
Our public hearing will be scheduled for next month.
Yeah.
And then after that,
so we will open our meeting.
Then we can make the motion.
Yes. We'll open our meeting next month with the public hearing.
Holy moly.
What time is it?
Too late.
7:30. 7:30.
My bedtime.
Yeah. You get paid per hour. Okay. What are you worried about? Is everybody good with the public hearing next month?
I am. Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. So we'll let's plan on that. Public hearing, that's how we'll open our meeting next month.
Okay.
I am going to be absent.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Who's our proven? Devin?
I will be here. I'm pretty sure I'll be here.
You know, I don't know, because my schedule for Paiute CD got changed to 4 this Monday every time. And they usually go 1 to 2 hours and then drive back. I don't know how many times I'm going to be here.
Because they
changed
their scheduling. They did it the same fourth. So the fourth Monday is when it happens every year.
Every time. And they went from 2 to 4. Which is, that's my job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a heads up.
Okay. Thank you.
Did he just resign, or?
No, I'm not old enough to retire. And I don't
retire,
want
to. Retire,
I don't want a real job.
No, from this.
So, yeah. Let's see how that goes. And then we'll have to talk about how that, you've been on this committee a long time.
For a long time. So, anyway. That's
do you need a motion to replace him? Is that
I mean, I'm getting good at him, so.
he has to find his own replacement. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, there you go.
I still love my Honda on here.
It's like, okay. Okay, so I think we're good.
Thanks for explaining that to us.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Explained it as best as we can.
Thanks for ruining my day.
And if you guys have more questions, feel free to reach out to us. Yeah. So, okay. You know, it's confusing and it just keeps
gets better and better.
Layers to it. So, yeah. Let us know.
We might reach out again then.
So, how many entities are you doing this with currently?
Meeting with them?
Well, we just had some training on land use and things. You know, and I don't know where we need continuing eds and things like that. I don't know if it would be good, instead of coming to every single planning commission, just hold one night and make sure everybody comes.
Oh, and maybe we can give you our continuing education credit as part of that, too.
Just to say
that way, you guys aren't doing this every night for the next five months.
Essentially what it starts out with is just the CWS.
Okay.
And then those are between us and the community.
Yeah, but to give maybe the, I mean, yeah.
Especially as the 2024 comes out, you guys have it available to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler's really good at doing stuff like that. He loves it.
Yeah. And since we discovered R6, they've been God sent, honestly. Yes. They've been incredible. I can't say this enough, especially on record. They're amazing.
Yes, they are amazing. And Tyler's been fabulous for the tent.
Are
you
blushing yet?
Yeah, I know. He's like, you guys.
He needs a raise, but then our taxes would go up, so I don't know.
Sounds like mine. Right.
Well, that's right.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys.
We'll be in touch.
See ya.
That wasn't even the heavy item. We had
no.
You kick that. How long's the next one? I have to take it.
You need a break? You need a bio break? Is that what you're saying?
It depends on how much Tyler has for us.
I hope not.
I think it's really up to us what we want to do, I think, at this point. Tyler, I think, I don't know, you tell me where we're at.
I've gone through the majority of all the comments and questions on the Google Drive. I think we've addressed the majority of it. The one thing I remember from two meetings ago was the class of misdemeanor, and I did follow up with Trevor Peterson, and he said
we had him come talk in our meeting and give us
you were here. Yeah.
Okay.
So we did that for you.
Perfect. Okay. So I really don't think there's a whole lot that we need to do unless there's other things that you guys want me to change your head.
There was just one thing on the group home.
Mm-hmm. The group
that we had to just check or update or. I'm fine taking that out. I was just, my attempt was to make legal something that we already had in there that was illegal. Yeah. So,
group, they're a huge deal right now.
We can't turn them away.
No. But we can, there are some things that we could do.
So basically what I've heard from state attorneys is you can put regulations on them that you would reasonably put on a single-family home that has just a normal single-family residence. Anything beyond that, because like my question was, I was working with Monroe on this, and they wanted to know if they could do a conditional use permit, require a business license. There was a lot of things that they wanted to know. All the licensing happens at the state level, so there's nothing that you guys can require as far as licensing from a group home. You could potentially do a conditional use permit, but they just need to be reasonable conditions. Like I said, it's something like if you wanted to require additional off-street parking, that would have to be something that you would be okay requiring a single-family home, just if one family living in a home to also abide by.
Could we require like a septic review or something like that to make sure?
You could. I mean, the group homes typically, they're not like stuffing. There's not tons and tons of people. Like they're not like going beyond what like a normal family would be, you know, in that size of home. So if it's like a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, I mean, they're not putting 15 to 20 people in there, you know.
Okay.
I can look into that, but I'm not sure.
That was the only other thing I was wondering. Yeah. That's fine though.
But whatever the plans are and however many bathrooms they have, it will dictate the size of the septic system regardless.
Correct. Right. So if they're building new, if they're converting, it's a different story.
Most of the time they come in and buy homes that are existing, but is my understanding they find homes that are good deals, that are in locations that they want to be in, and then they make them group homes. I know Richfield City is in you've probably seen the building, I think it's Rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're kind of battling with Richfield City on group homes. And Monroe City heard about that, and they kind of preemptively changed their ordinances because they were technically not allowed. They were not allowed to use in Monroe City, so they changed their ordinance to make them an allowed use so that they didn't get in trouble. Because it sounds like they're not afraid to bring lawsuits into the mix if cities and towns are giving them grief. I don't know. We could look at Monroe City's ordinance that they just passed, amending and allowing group homes. I looked at it and incorporated a little bit into my, I think it was a comment on one of your comments, Devin. They're just tough. I think we probably just need to stick with what state code says, and they're essentially allowed in any residential zone, and there's not a whole lot that can be done. It's kind of like an internal accessory dwelling unit. They're just allowed.
Yeah, I'll go back through that and just make sure it matches. Other than that, I think where we were was we all needed to review it, and then we can, as long as we're comfortable with it.
It's another public hearing.
Yeah.
And you could do back-to-back public hearings next month if everyone's comfortable with it, reviews it in the next couple weeks. If there's any minor changes that need to be made, I can make that before the public hearing. Then it gets kicked to the town council for their review and approval. If you feel like we need more time, obviously we're not in a rush. You guys have adequate, good ordinances, so we're not really against the clock here trying to get something in place.
We're just trying to clean up the ordinances. Yeah. That's all we're really trying to do. There's never been a time limit on this, but we've been doing it for quite a while. It's probably been about a year that we've been working on this.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're at the point where if we all reviewed it, mm-hmm. this next little bit, then we could have a public hearing next time.
We could do that. So we could do two public hearings next time, and do the Woody one and the update of the ordinances, and then we could push all that to the town council.
And that's not saying that we can't make changes in the future. That's just
Yeah. This is kind of like a one big, like all-encompassing land use ordinance update. Yeah, if there's individual sections that we want to amend or
like beekeeping, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone wants six hives and stuff.
So yeah, that. Yeah.
I still think we should take it out, but that's.
I do too, because it's totally governed by
it is.
The state.
Were any of you in that meeting when that went down?
Like maybe
when
we
was. I was the bees. Yeah, I was there.
That was like right when I started with Sixth County. That was one of my first meetings that came over.
Yeah, they're not here anymore, and we've not had any. Of course, you know, it's very detailed. But the point is that most of it is exactly what the state says, and so it's still applicable whether we have it in there or not.
Who would have ever thought?
fees.
Oh, but it's very detailed ordinance.
I put our ordinance in ChatGPT, the land use ordinance, the whole thing. And it came back and said, this is a great ordinance. You covered a lot of things. I especially like the beekeeping ordinance.
Oh, my.
Serious.
So did you tell it, make the rest of the ordinance match the beekeeping ordinance?
You know, rewrite it.
That's cracking up.
Yeah. No, I've made too many cracks about how thorough the beekeeping one is.
I honestly never seen someone more passionate about bees than the gentleman that was here. That was
Aaron.
Aaron out of the existing ordinance. Like it was. Aaron. It was impressive, honestly. Like how passionate and like intense he was about.
And how much the neighbors did not like it.
Yeah.
Fumigate bomb tossed over the fence in the middle of the night, is that what you...
No, I'll just leave it at that. The neighbors was not thrilled, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, again.
So we can deal with that on the agenda for another public hearing. We can review the Google Drive and be ready next month.
That would be great if everybody would do that, and then we'll go ahead and do the public hearing. I hope somebody shows up, but if any the indications from past public hearings, it's going to be everybody that's in the room right now.
That'll be easy.
Minus you.
Maybe,
you'll be invited.
we can move the meeting back an hour just for you to make sure that you're here.
She's like, no. I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay, so we don't need a motion for any of that. We just plan on the public hearing. Sorry. Okay, that gets us through that.
Yeah.
Next is conditional use permits.
None.
I was going to say I didn't see any.
Okay, and then we have building permits.
None.
Any other business anybody has?
Here's your motion.
Motion to wrap it up.
I'll second the motion that we adjourn.
We have a motion to wrap it up and a second to adjourn.
All in favor?
To wrap it up.
I think I'm going to stick with me.
Any
that
opposed?
Was a long one tonight.
I think we got enough ayes that we're going to go ahead and adjourn.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Hopefully we got everybody's questions answered on the mapping and all of that.
It's definitely more clear. I don't think that the...